what they do, how much you can alter the approach and stuff. I keep wondering if this idea that accuracy is, you know, out of the cradle type stuff, I wonder if we're right on that. How much of that is true and how much of it is adjustable?
I think some of it is what you are already born with. But as was pointed out when I had Tom Thayer on, Tom talked about how he wants to see Mitchell be better with his feet.
Sure.
And that if he were able to do that, he would be a more accurate passer, because there were so many passes that flew away or went into the dirt because he was wandering with his feet instead of setting them and throwing. So components like that to someone's game. And I mean, look, when you have a guy that is used to throwing on the run, and that's where Tom said that he was been really impressed with what Mitchell has done, you are going to have some of the sloppiness. And I think that the more games he plays, that's the point where I do think the lack of games in college, even though we're now talking about 30 games in the pros, or, you know, was it 25 games in the pros for Mitchell Trubisky at this point? No, it was 30, right? He started four games.
Plus the playoff game, 30, yeah.
Yeah, it's 30 games for him at this point. So the 30 games in the pros, still not a ton when you consider that there wasn't all of the development in college. So some of that stuff can still get better. And if that's the difference between Mitch being a 65% passer and him being a 70% passer, then that's where you can make the improvement.
And I think a big part of that too, of the being calm with his feet, just comes down to trusting your offensive line too, because it can be very, I mean, like Tom Brady's the best at it, to where he takes his two-step drop and he's not moving from there. He's going to go down sometimes. He's going to get sacked sometimes. Yeah. But for the most part, he is saying, look, I am going to trust this offensive line. When the heat starts to come, I know that somebody's going to pick that guy up. And it'll be interesting to see how the Bears' offensive line continues to develop with him, especially with James Daniels at center this year and Cody White here at guard. And this isn't, you know, drastic, because I think both those guys are going to be more comfortable in those positions anyway along the offensive line.
I asked Olin Krutz about this because I'm a Cody White here guy. Mm-hmm. I love Cody White here at center. And Olin said to me that he thinks that Cody White here can be a Pro Bowl player at center. Mm-hmm. He says James Daniels can be all pro.
Ooh, okay.
And I was like, oh, right. Okay, well then, yeah. Right,
do that.
Because that guy knows. So, yeah. Cool. And then I followed up. I talked with Cody a couple weeks ago. And I said, man, you know, I'm kind of a Cody Whitehair at center stand. And he was like, put that huge paw on my shoulder.
He's got big mitts, doesn't he?
And he said, don't worry about it. They drafted me to play guard.
Huh.
I was like, okay. So everyone's on board. So everything's fine.
Honest question here in the game of
Thrones.
Game of Thrones. I heart the show.
When are you done?
In the game, in the Lawrence Holmes, Tony Gill game of is Mitch Trubisky good? Has anybody flat out said no?
No.
Okay.
Interesting.
No one said no, and people were mad yesterday. Well, you're not giving a balanced account.
What does that mean?
You can call Michael Lombardi if you want to, but you know that guy's out there already.
Right, and I already know that he's doing that thing.
Yes.
That yeah. he's actually doing the... I sometimes, and I was joking yesterday, that some people have been so corrupted as fans by the concept of embrace debate that here it is. Here's some actual analysis from guys that you trust. And because they're all saying similar things, it becomes untrustworthy. That there has to be some other side that's not being explored. And all we ask, and all that we've asked any of our guests to do is go back and look at the tape from last year, tell us what you think. And that's what they've done. And some of them have gone even farther. Like Patrick Manley was like breaking down each individual game, and he came with stuff yesterday. And our guest today, I sent Dan Durkin on a mission, and I asked him to look at the tape, and he looked at the tape.
Uh-huh.
Brad Evans, who's going to be on the show today, I said, I need the fantasy stuff from you.
Excellent.
And so he's going to do this. So people are going to have an opportunity to hear them as we do our thing with, is Mitch good at football? yet again today. Also, there's a ton of other stuff that is going on.
Lots.
I don't know if I have enough show today, to tell you quite honestly.
Like, we'll get out the way.
No, you guys are never in the way.
Let's go.
We talked about good fight videos, and I sent it to both of you.
Yeah, I saw that.
So you guys can check it out. That's Connor McKnight. That's Mark Rohde sitting in for Dan Bernstein. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR in HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. And the top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. And this hour is being brought to you by Crystal Lake Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
He is one of our experts here. He's Anthony Heron. You can follow him on Twitter at Big Ant Heron. Is Mitch good at football?
I like the very generic, very open-ended manner that you begin that with. Yes, I think he's good at football.
Score Bears analyst Patrick Manley. So let me ask you the question. Is Mitch Trubisky good at football?
Yes, but that's not the question that needs to be asked. The question is, can he be great?
Make me a bicycle clown!
Is Mitch Good Week continues on the Lawrence Holmes Show on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I'm very much looking forward to the supercut that Tony's going to put together of all of our guests this week that we'll run back next week, with all of their analysis on Mitchell Trubisky. And guess what? We got two more analysts that are going to help you out in that regard today. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. There is a ton to discuss. Like, is Mitch Trubisky good at football? We're going to talk with Brad Evans about that from Yahoo, a.k.a. Yahoo Noise. Dan Durkin is going to join me, and we're going to discuss, and you know Dan. Dan stays in the film room, so I had him dig deep on Mitchell Trubisky stuff, and we're going to talk about it, and you're going to hear it. The crew, Tony Gill's executive producer of this fine show, a.k.a. Tony Two Bags, a.k.a. Tone, a.k.a. Tony has done it again.
Damn, brother.
That's right, brother. Brother. And Rick Damkamp is also here working on the show today, and we are glad that you are along for the ride. We have a lot to do today, so let's get to it. The show starts like it starts every day with a rundown.
Hey, you know what? Do you have a rundown that I could take a look at just so I know what type of rundown you're looking for?
Just keep it simple.
Keeping it simple. That's what I'm doing.
The rundown.
There is a lot going on, even in Chicago sports today. A lot of news stories, like not a lot of highlights, but a lot of news stories around the teams. Like, for example, this thing with the Chicago Fire is really, really interesting, where they've basically said, hey, Bridgeview, we're going to cut you a check. And we're going to keep practicing in Bridgeview, but we're going to play our games in the city. So actually, I'm going to talk with Danny Santa Ramita about this at 1:25 on the show today, because I think it's a really interesting way to the origin of this story has really been interesting, and the way that it's evolved is super interesting. So that's something that's on the rundown today. How about the White Sox? The White Sox are almost done with their netting that they are putting up that is going to extend all the way to the foul poles, which, quite honestly, I'm so happy that they're doing it, and I hope that other teams see how easily and how quickly this can be done, and they get it done. I talked with a former GM this morning who says that he expects that all 30 teams will get this done by opening day next year, even though it's not a mandate from the commissioner of the sport. I'm glad that the White Sox were at the forefront of this. This is what Ricky Renteria had to say about it.
Obviously, anything that's going to put the fans in a more protective mode is good. I'm sure they'll be relieved to know that something has been put in place to, you know, avoid injury for them. They'll still be able to watch the game cleanly. I mean, those nets don't really obstruct anything. They're able to see everything as well as they have without them. But it gives them maybe a little more sense of security. These guys are hitting the balls. They're coming off the bat at phenomenal velocities, and so, you know, it might give them a little bit more protection.
And the White Sox say that they're going to have a section for autographs, and that will be able to have players interact with fans if that's what they choose to do. So to me, it's all good, and I'm glad that they are doing this. There's also news here on this very radio station today. John Paxson was on The Score with Mully and Haw. It was Tom Thayer, who was sitting in for Haw today. And we pulled a chunk for those of you that are interested in the Russell Westbrook stuff and you're trying to figure out a way to get Russell Westbrook onto the Bulls. Here's what John Paxson had to say about that.
Everybody pays attention, obviously, to what's going on and, right. and you know, the deals around the league. But I think every team is at kind of a different stage of development and evolution. And, you know, there are teams that are going to take a real shot at someone like that. When you have to factor into everything. I mean, when you look at the financial aspect of a player that's 30 going out 4 years and the amount of money that's going right. to be made, you know, those things can, you know, tie your hands up and kind of put your organization in a tough position. We're looking at things realistically. We understand where we're at. And like I said at the beginning, honestly, I want our group to be competitive. I want our fan base to look out at our team and say, okay, these guys are playing hard. They're showing us that they care and that there's a real chance that as their young guys develop, this is going to be a really good basketball team. The league has changed so much as contracts. You know, it used to be where you sign a guy to you can sometimes sign to 6-year deals, guaranteed deals, and that limited movement. Now to the last CBA, they've shortened the deals and, maybe one of the unintended effects is all this player movement that you're seeing now, that, you know, guys moving teams on their own and, you know, coming to free agency sooner. And that, you know, so we're trying to build this thing given our timeline, and our timeline started 2 years ago in terms of a rebuild. I think like I said earlier, when you look at the number of changes we made in the past 2 years, when you're talking about a 15-man roster, I think they're significant. I think we've upgraded our talent level while staying young.
So that was John Paxson talking about the possibility of bringing in Russell Westbrook. Doesn't sound like to me that's what the Bulls are planning to do. Meanwhile, the Cubs are getting ready to start the second half of the season. They will have a game tomorrow. I will be at Smoke Daddy across the street from Wrigley Field. You can come and hang out while we do the show leading into the game against the Pirates. Here's what Jed Hoyer said this morning about the division race in the National League Central.
You know, I think I'd fall back on what I said before. I think that we're just fortunate to be in first place. I don't sort of take any happiness in that. I think being four games over 500 is how I view the team. I think that we're still at that point in the season. You know, that obviously as you get into September and stuff, you look at, you know, you're going to look at, you know, the standings based on game, you know, one game or half a game. But and right now, I think that's how I see it. We're very fortunate. We're in first place. We haven't played like a first place team, you know, but that's where we are. And like I said before, the truth is we're very lucky that no one ran away with the division. And that gives us, that puts us in a good position. And obviously that position really matters at the trade deadline. To your point, it does matter as you think about making acquisitions, because you know, every team is going to be more aggressive with a chance to win the division versus a chance to just have a one-game playoff. So it does make a difference. But certainly, you know, the last, you know, 60 games or so haven't felt like a first-place team. You know, on the division part, there's no doubt that I think that Milwaukee and St. Louis both are probably a little bit frustrated with how they played as well. I think they're probably having similar discussions. Both teams had really good stretches, and both teams had really bad stretches. And so I think that's right, that the division hasn't been quite as strong in terms of one loss record. But I will say it's the only division in baseball where everyone's trying to win. And that does make a big difference. There are no games that we have in our division against a rebuilding team. Now, every division is a team that's coming in trying to beat you. Every team is trying to make the playoffs. And that makes a difference, and that's going to affect the one loss record at the end of the year with whoever wins our division. So I do think that while it hasn't been the sort of juggernaut division everyone expected, I still feel like it's a lot different than other divisions, and I think that's going to make a difference.
So that was Jed Hoyer talking about the Cubs in the National League Central. You're going to hear more from Jed Hoyer as the show goes on. That is your rundown for Thursday, July 11th, in our Is Mitch Good Week. And guess what? Coming up next, we have a guest who is going to talk about it. This segment is being brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're off and running this weekend at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Join them Saturday for Arlington's annual Food Truck Festival with over 20 food trucks, and Sunday for Chicago Bears Day with autograph signings and Bears entertainment. Visit arlingtonpark.com for tickets. Is Mitch Trubisky good from a fantasy standpoint? One of our fantasy experts is going to give his answer next here on The Score.
Tomorrow morning, join 670 The Score at Smoke Daddy Barbecue in Wrigleyville before the Cubs take on Pittsburgh. Stop in to see Connor McKnight and filling in for Dan Bernstein, Mark Grody. They'll be broadcasting live from 9 a.m. to noon, followed by Lawrence Holmes until Cubs pregame at 12:45. Presented by M-Better from Illini Care Health.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute sponsored by Park Mobile, a better way to park. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred wants us to believe that the juiced baseballs that have been flying out of ballparks at record rates this season are coincidence or something like that. Manfred insisted Tuesday that even though MLB now owns Rawlings, the company that makes the juiced baseballs, it knows nothing, as Sergeant Schultz would say, nothing about why MLB games are averaging 2.74 home runs per game, which would be an all-time record over an entire season. If we decide to change the baseballs, you'll know about it before we do it, Manfred said. He went on to say that the possibility of changing the specifications of the baseball is, quote, a topic under discussion. Can go no further. Baseball has become home runs and strikeouts. The ball never seems to be put into actual play. This isn't a good thing. Forget the denials, Commissioner. Forget discussions. Do something. I'm John Feinstein.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Organizing most of your things doesn't have to mean spending most of your money. At the Home Depot's Pack Store Save event, get a variety of storage options from Sterilite starting as low as $4.98. Large and tough, clear and colorful, tightly sealed and water resistant. Whatever you need to store, however you want to store it, today is the day for doing. The Pack Store Save event, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid until August 25th while supplies last.
Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations. Limited time only. Plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Joined by Coby White, the Bulls' first-round draft pick. Coby, first of all, I'd like to start with complimenting you on the eloquent essay that you wrote for the Players' Tribune on the loss of your father. Somebody your age, having dealt with the loss of a loved one at 17 years old a couple years ago, and the way that you've handled that and the way that you presented yourself in the Players' Tribune, it's really commendable. How much have you thought about your dad the past couple days? And will you continue the tribute of wearing the pink shoes in his honor with the Bulls?
I thought about it a lot. It's been an emotional time for me and my family. There's just been a lot going on, and we're just wishing that he was here. Like I've been telling people, I've been thinking about doing something with the shoes. I don't necessarily know if they're going to be pink, but I've definitely been thinking about doing something with the shoes to keep their memory going.
Mullion Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Combining home and auto with State Farm gets you great coverage for less. Combining 90s R&B with State Farm radio ads gets you this jam covered for free. For more coverage, visit statefarm.com. Combine it.
On August 5th, join 670 The Score for the McNeil and Parkins Charity Golf Outing at Seven Bridges Golf Club.